chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is just. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we again thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love, and allowing us to assemble once more as a New Testament Baptist church. We're thankful that you blessed us already with the teaching hour, and for the ones that have come, and for the blessing the Word of God has been to our hearts and our lives. We ask now, Father, that as we come into this part of the service, we're thankful for all that's been done thus far, and we pray that your name has been exalted and praised. And we pray even now, Father, through the Word of God, that you may receive the honor and glory that is justly due to you only. We do pray now, Father, that this morning, that for those that are here that are not saved, we pray that it would please you, Lord, that you would do a work in our midst, and especially in the hearts of these unsaved. We realize the greatest need of any person this morning is to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For we know without this that we'll have a terrible life here, and yet it'll even be far more severe in eternity than they depart from the very presence of God and spend eternity in the devil's hell. But we pray, Father, that this morning that you'd be pleased to work in our midst, in the hearts and the lives of this people, and especially the ones of us that are saved, help us to rejoice in these great truths that are found here in this passage of Scripture, spoken by Jesus himself. Now, Father, I pray for our elderly people. We have several that are elderly that need your protection, power in their lives. And we pray especially for those who are sick and need you in a very special way, that your grace would be sufficient for such a time as this. And we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in their lives. Thankful for all of our young people, our boys and girls, and all of these little ones, Lord, that we look out over the congregation and see. And we pray to please you to save them at a very early age, Lord, and then they could use their lives in your service and through the church. We pray for our nation as a whole this morning, Lord. We pray that the Word of God, as it goes forth, that you would direct it, and that there would be places this morning that stand for the truth of God's Word that would exalt you and bring honor and glory to you. I pray now that you'd lead us in this hour and guide us and direct us and forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name, I ask it all. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the subject of Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit conviction. Jesus was teaching a great truth, and we see here a threefold work of the Holy Spirit. He talks about leaving and sending the Comforter, and when you study in the 15th and the 16th chapter and 14 about the Comforter, you'll find out that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit that indwells believers, and also that indwells through churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that works on people that are not saved to bring them to salvation. He talks about that when he will come, he's going to do three things. He's going to reprove the world of sin, and then he's going to reprove the world of righteousness, and then he's going to reprove the world of judgment. The threefold work here of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to deal with all three of these, but I want the necessity to deal with the first one. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ was the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit's coming. But here in verse 7 it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Now, what he's talking about going away is of course, he died, his death. He died on the cross, and his death. And this is spoken of a way of going away. And of course, Old Testament sometimes said they went the way of their fathers, or they've gone the way of all the earth, or various other ways. In other words, they are gone. And he had in mind of going and dying at Calvary and then ascending and going back to the Father. And of course, we know that's where he is today. And then he said, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And so there was special emphasis placed upon that there would be the same kind, another Comforter. He says one place here in John, another Comforter, which means the same kind, or means like it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that is the Holy Spirit. He said, "But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And of course, we read about this in the New Testament. Now, I believe that Jesus tried time and time again to prepare his disciples for the hour of his departing. He said in the 13th chapter of John, when the conversation was there with Simon Peter, and you'll notice in the 13th chapter of the book of John and verse 17, he said this. He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." But then he goes on down into that chapter, and he talks about in verse 36 and, well, 35, "And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" You know, he said, "I must needs go away, that another comforter may come." And Jesus answered, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Jesus was trying to prepare them for his going away. Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" And he goes on and talks about with him. But Jesus tried time and time again to prepare his disciples for the last hour, or when he would go to the cross of Calvary and when he would die. Now, there was a purpose for this. After he, of course, had finished the work the Father sent him to do, and that's what he did when he came and lived and died. He did that work by not only living, but by dying and going to the cross of Calvary. Then he was seated on the right hand of the Father, or right hand of the throne of God. Now what took place, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit descended. And the Holy Spirit descended, and we have record of this in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit descended to empower the church at Jerusalem, and the purpose of this was for to carry out the commission. Now, the only reason that we can carry out the commission as a New Testament church is because of the Holy Spirit. You cannot of yourselves and of ourselves carry out the Great Commission. There must be and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came there upon the church at Jerusalem. Now, the commission was, and I'm not going to turn there, but the commission was given, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." And then he goes on and talks about to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them to observe all things, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or even unto the end of the age. Now that's literally what took place there when the Holy Spirit descended there upon the church at Jerusalem to carry out the commission. Now we must remember that the gospel has no saving power apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no saving power at all
in the gospel apart from the saving of power or the work of the Holy Spirit. There is none. And that ought to make us to realize and see how dependent we are upon the Holy Spirit. Now, all evangelistic efforts are effortless without the Holy Spirit. You can do anything or say anything that you want to, and there will be no sinner ever led to repentance apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. All evangelistic efforts are vain without the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to really realize this and pray that it might please the Father, that the Holy Spirit this morning might do His work here in our midst. Now, I know there's more to the work of the Holy Spirit than just bringing people to salvation, enabling them to hear the gospel, because you can go back and read here what He talks about it. Why, He shall be in you, and He shall lead you and guide you and direct you in all truth. And we know that these are also works of the Holy Spirit. But basically what I want to deal with this morning is Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit conviction. Now, for people to be saved, there has to be conviction. And there will be conviction for people to be saved. And apart from conviction, there will be no salvation. Amen. And without the Holy Spirit doing the work that God has designed for God the Holy Spirit to do, there will never be any conviction. I get concerned and I'm alarmed when I look at people and when I preach and preach and preach for years and I never see what I think is any conviction. Now that concerns me. It really does. And then you begin to question a lot of things. But the thing that you have to realize is that until God gets ready, until God brings conviction, until the Holy Spirit works conviction, there won't be any conviction. And I believe without conviction there'll be no concern. Sometimes you see people that are not concerned. They're in church a long time and there's no concern whatsoever about their condition are about being saved. And so what we have to understand, and that would cause us to want to quit and not do what God called us to do, or to be a good witness for Him, or to be faithful to what He's given us in the church, it would cause that. But we've got to understand Holy Spirit conviction. Now I want to deal basically with just one thing here in this, in the time that we have. And we find this, and now remember, I'm going to read verse 7 and verse 8 again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now here's the thing that I want to deal with this morning. The Holy Spirit conviction. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. Now that's what I want just to think about and spend our time and efforts on that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe, and I say this in a primary way, and I don't mean this is the only, but this is the first work of the Holy Spirit. To reprove the world of sin. For He says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. Now this word reprove here means to convict or to convince. And I believe the Holy Spirit not only convicts people, but I believe the Holy Spirit also convinces people. And there'll be no convicting, and there'll be no convincing, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So now, where does this put us? It shows every one of us that are saved by the grace of God And members of the New Testament Baptist Church, how dependent that we are on the working of the Holy Spirit. All that He has commissioned us and everything that He has told us to do is effortless without the effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God to convict and to convince. What? Of sin. That people are sinners and of sin. The sinner must be reproved of sin. It's hard to find a sinner. Among the unsaved. Now you can find all kinds of them among the saved. And it's not hard for a saved person to realize that they're a sinner. You know why? Because they've been convicted of it, and because they've been convinced of it. And who convicted them and who convinced them? It wasn't some preacher, and it wasn't their friend, but it was the Holy Spirit. And so, it's not hard at all to find sinners among believers, people who are saved by the grace of God. But it's hard, it's downright impossible to find a sinner among the unsaved. Now, we're talking about Holy Spirit conviction. A lot of people have improvised today and substituted for the work of the Holy Spirit. A lot of that has gone on even in New Testament Baptist churches today. They have improvised. And so, when it has not pleased God to work, then they work. And they convict. And they convince. And then what do you have? Same thing you began with. You have an unsaved sinner. But when God works, and when the Holy Spirit does the work, and when the Holy Spirit convicts, and when the Holy Spirit convicts, what do you have? You have a lost sinner.
Amen.
Exactly. What you have. Now, the unsaved sinner may see themselves a sinner among the world of sinners. Now they may see that. And ain't many want to see that want to admit that. Now you see what I said? The unsaved sinner may see themselves a sinner among the world of sinners. Well, I'm like everybody else. You got to see more than that. You got to see more than you're just a sinner among a whole world of sinners. But they must see themselves as no other sinner. They must see themselves as a sinner like no other sinner in the world. Now, and the Holy Spirit will bring that about. Now, I can read you and tell you that you're a sinner like all other sinners, and people will, that has any knowledge at all of reasoning, will say, well, that's what it says, and so evidently that must be the way that it is. But that's not Holy Spirit conviction, and that's not convincing of the Holy Spirit. Why? Listen to this passage of Scripture over in the book of Proverbs. Now, we're talking about Holy Spirit conviction. In the book of Proverbs, and we find there in chapter 30, and then verse 12 of the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Listen to what? Let's see. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And I believe that we see here, before God saves any sinner, what He will do, He will bring them to see that they are a sinner before God. Not like other men, but they are a sinner before God. I tell you, Holy Spirit conviction brings you down to work. You don't worry about somebody else, or what somebody else is, or what somebody else is doing. The Holy Spirit brings you down to work. You see yourself a sinner before God. You don't say, well, I'm not like so-and-so. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not like so-and-so. And I believe today that what we need is Holy Spirit conviction. Now, I want to ask you this morning, has the Holy Spirit ever opened your heart? Has the Holy Spirit ever enabled you to see yourself as God sees you? And that's exactly what must take place. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. There's a good example of this that we find in the New Testament in Luke chapter 18. Turn over there with me in Luke 18. I want you to see this. Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. Now both of them went up there to pray, and they prayed. But look at it. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Now look at this. A lot of prayers prayed like this. A lot of, I've heard men stand praying like this. Now look. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this public. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now that's commendable, wasn't it? A man of fast and tithes. That's commendable. But it has no value if he's not saved. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now I'm going to tell you, you all know how to say it. When God brings Holy Spirit conviction, He brings you down to the face of the sinner. As a matter of fact, He brings you down to where you think you're the only sinner. Mm-hmm. To the place where you think you're the worst sinner. Mm-hmm. That you're the deepest of sinners. Mm-hmm. It isn't it? God brings you to a place and say, well, I'm a sinner and I'm thankful that I'm not as bad a sinner as somebody else. God brings you down and strips you of all of your self-righteousness. Strips you out of that. And that's why that you feel this heavy weight and burden and guilt of your sin. You feel as though that you're the only one that's ever sinned against God. Now look what he says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. But the difference between the two is Holy Spirit conviction. And until the Holy Spirit of God does a work upon an unsaved sinner, they'll not be brought down to the place as this old publican were, to where he would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Now what happened is the devil may deceive you into thinking that you're not as other men. And the devil deceives a lot of people. And they're deceived. I preached about that other Sunday.
But all you've got to do is read the Word of God and read what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Galatia and what he said there in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. And in verse 22, now look, as Paul was writing in this letter, and look at what he said here in Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And so we see that the Apostle Paul brings out this fact of a sinner. He did it in the book of Romans. And he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Holy Spirit conviction goes much deeper than just the outward sins of the flesh. It goes much deeper than that. He reaches all the way down into the heart of unbelief. I reckon so. Look what he said here in verse 8 and 9 of John 16. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. It's much deeper than just the sins of the flesh. It goes all the way down to the heart of the man. I'm talking about Holy Spirit conviction. True believers will believe that they are personal sinners. They'll believe it the very day that God saves them by grace. And then they'll know it the rest of their lives. They'll know that. They will believe that they are personal sinners. If sinners do not believe they are sinners, they have no reason to believe in Jesus Christ. Why does anybody need Jesus Christ if they're not a sinner? There's no need of Jesus Christ. And in essence, you know, some people actually, literally, by their thoughts and their thinking and their lives, don't need Jesus Christ. Because they think that they're not a sinner. Now we know that they need Jesus Christ. The sinner will only receive the gospel message by the work of the Holy Spirit. When Peter was preaching, and I really thought about, Peter really got with it over here in Acts chapter 2. And so it says, Brother Richard said he sailed the corn. But he preached to these people here. And there's several things in this message, but down in verse 32 through 36. And I want to show you here that even this morning, preaching on the Holy Spirit conviction, if the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you, you'll leave here not convicted. And everybody that's here that's saved knows that what I'm preaching is the truth and knows that it is the Word of God. But we also know that even preaching about this truth and of this truth and this truth, that unless the Holy Spirit convicts you, you'll leave here this morning not being convicted. Now look here, verse 32, Acts 2. This Jesus has God raised up. Now, he talked to them pretty sharp about Jesus' crucifixion. He said, you have taken and crucified. He said it was by the permanent counsel of God in 23. But then look, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now there's the message. But the message without
Holy Spirit conviction will not accomplish anything. Now, it will serve the purpose for which God has it to be preached. But I'm talking about as far it will accomplish that purpose, that just even the preaching of it. But I'm talking about as far as people being saved or convicted of sin. I'm not saying the Word of God is a useless preacher, Word of God. I'm not saying that. Now look. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now who was it that pricked them in their heart? It was the Holy Spirit. It was God the Holy Spirit. He pricked them in their heart. Now when the Holy Spirit reproves, He puts the end to all arguments. I've seen people, well, I would this or I would that, and then the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and they forget about all the arguments. Puts down all arguments. Well, I would if. That's evident the Holy Spirit's not dealt with you. When the Holy Spirit deals with you, it'll put down all your old silly arguments. It'll put down all debate, and it'll put down all excuses. He will. Now, what we must understand is there is no salvation apart from this conviction. And He convinces that sin is against God. And that you have sinned against God. Sins against God are deserving of death and even eternal death. He convinces us that Christ is righteous. Because in verse 22 of that same second chapter, it says, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Now look at this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man of true God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. He convinces us that we need His righteousness by revealing our righteousness as filthy rags. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Takes all the sap out of it. Sap. Takes all of that goody-goody out of us. Takes it all out of us. And makes us real, helps us to see exactly what we are. He leaves us helpless and hopeless. He strips us right down to nothing. He reveals the corruption of our nature. He brings us to despair. And it's a moment of desperation. Now, men are fond of their own righteousness. Men are fond of their own righteousness. Read about them. Read of what they say about themselves. And the reason they're fond of their own righteousness is they're ignorant of Christ's righteousness. And when you come to the place that you're no longer ignorant of Christ's righteousness, then you're not so fond of your own righteousness. And say, well, all my righteousness is as filthy rags and set against them. Now, so what we have is we have the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God, but in reality, what we have to see this truth is that when He has come with the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin. Now, there's never been a person that's been saved by the grace of God that, first of all, has not been reproved of sin. And the Holy Spirit is the person that does that. He uses the means. God's means and I've preached this many times through the years. I think of three things. I think of God's method. Now, what is God's message? To lost sinners. What is His message? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Let's look at it.
receive the message that he has for us here. Paul preached this message everywhere he went. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Now, no person will ever receive the gospel apart from Holy Spirit conviction. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's the message. Here the messenger was the Apostle Paul. God always has a messenger. It may be you. God uses the messenger, the mouthpiece. God uses messengers. But the medium, the Holy Spirit. You can have the message, sure, with a message. But there has to be the medium. That's the Holy Spirit. To make it effectual. And so I'm thankful that when Jesus said that he was leaving, the Holy Spirit was coming, and the Holy Spirit, he said, he will. He didn't say he might. He said he will reprove the world of sin. And if you have been saved by the grace of God, you can say amen to that. Heartily. You can say that you know assuredly that you have been reproved of sin. Now, in essence, it's like these verses that we use so often. And here it is. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And I believe this is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that reproves. And of course, there's two other things in this thought here. But the first one is he convicts you that you're a sinner, and he convinces you that you're a sinner. And the devil will say, no, you're not too bad. You're not as bad as so-and-so. But the Holy Spirit overwhelms that and says, you're a sinner. You're a lost sinner. You're doomed and you're damned and you're hopeless without the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, he doesn't just stop there. He puts you in the place of the sinner, but he enables you to see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, now, I pray this morning, and I don't know, you may wonder why I say this all the time. You ever wonder why I say I pray that the Lord will open the heart of some lost sinner this morning? You ever wonder why I say this? It's only they'll be saved. I can't, and they can't. Except that we're given them. 665, John 665. And I pray this morning, we have a whole list of people that our men are praying for that are not saved. Some of these we've talked to, not all of them, but some of them we've talked to. But some of them are just small children. But we're praying that, and I pray this morning that please God will grant some Holy Spirit conviction in this congregation of people. Deal with sinners that they might know that they're lost sinners. That they are sinners against God. They need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, and enable them to receive Jesus Christ personally. Understand the Bible and in the closing. If the Lord's speaking to you, then we invite you to come.